Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Don't ask me to rank you guys. How about that?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to your favorite hour of the week. It's October. It's playoff baseball, and it's Under the Radar. Presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. Just got one in the mail today. My Derek Jeter Enter the Hall card. We're not getting these free as any part of the sponsorship, by the way. So this is just a straight out of respect. With me, as always, my friend and yours.
Yeah, we pay full price.
We do. Your friend of mine, Ian Khan.
Yes, we do. We pay full price.
Straight up powder blue shirt today for Ian Khan, just in case you want to picture him in your mind.
It's later in the day. I'm not in the t-shirt. I've showered. I've put on my work clothes, and I'm, you know, gotta do what we gotta do.
I think it's the not clean shaven part that's really gotten to me.
Yeah, well, you know what's cool is I've dropped a good amount of weight, which is positive, but I still haven't gotten a freaking haircut for far too long. So I look like some, like, that's why before the show you said you look like one of those senators who like look like they should be good guys but they're really bad guys. It's because the extra hair, it's just not working for me.
Finely coiffed. Is that how you, almost pompadourish?
Yeah, I had to like comb it and crap. It's just not really my style, but I gotta get a haircut. And the woman who was supposed to come to give us a haircut called in sick and was like, yeah, don't come because you might be sick. Anyway, that's where it is. But it's great to be back with you guys. I missed doing the show. We didn't do last week. That was on me. But also, I'm kind of glad because last week I just would have been like, a lot of stuff's going to happen this week. I don't know how it's going to go. And now I know how it all went. So it's pretty cool.
And it gave you some time to cool down from Tim online.
Well, you know, Tim's kind of a brat. So, you know, we do what we do.
Hey, it was constructive criticism. I liked it.
I guess. I mean, you know, do better is kind of what he said. So I said, you're kind of a brat. There you go, Tim.
That's great. Ryland, like in a week, DVR is going to admit that it was him. There was just a DVR burner account. It was meant to fire you up. So we have champions here on the show. DVR won Maki. Congratulations, DVR.
Khaki, hey, thanks.
Khaki, as we call it.
Yeah, khaki.
That was a, listen, Dr. Thomas Scott and I came in second place. Ryan Eisner came in third, Nick Schilling came in fourth, and Derek Van Riper won that league. 141 points, but it's not at a 150. It was like at a 165 or something, but a dominating performance by him. Brilliantly done, earned the victory, held on, spent a lot to get it. Like, you know, he used a lot of, but he got the win, and that matters. I mean,
spent a lot of
future value. Super,
yeah, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, spent a lot of future value, but, you know, held. Like, when did you start taking over the lead there, DVR? Was it like, because Ryan had the lead for most of the season. And then was it about a month ago where we climbed and kind of overtook him and then you took the spot and never gave it up?
Felt like late August, early September is when it really got kind of close and you could open it up every day and something different was happening at the top of the standings.
For the last 2 weeks, I feel like you really had it. Like, you, and there was actually a path for us on the last day that we could have made it close, but it didn't. We didn't make it close. I mean, 141, 136, that's a win.
DVR, who's the player on your team whose jersey you're going to buy?
If I were going to buy a jersey from someone on the team, Austin Riley probably came through
nice. In
a really big way. So maybe Riley, because I'm a Bay Area person, maybe a Buster Posey jersey would be a good call. He was a good $5 player.
Are you identifying with the Bay Area now? You've been there for a month?
Yeah, I'm just trying to blend
the Bay Area
in.
Guy.
I'm just glad that California man hasn't taken on the Florida man connotation yet, you know, as a result of my behavior here.
Yeah, I think California will be fine with your presence. You're nothing but an addition, my friend. Yeah, that's a good question. I like that question about who gets the jersey. So Austin Riley or Buster Posey, but there was another, you have another great player on the team. I'm trying to think about who it is. Let me pull it up real quick.
I lost Acuña in that league. Everybody lost key players, it felt like, at some point. Everyone competing for the title this year, at least. I think kind of the unsung hero on the pitching side might have been Luis Garcia. He was a reserve round pick back in the spring. You know, I think he probably is a top 25, top 30 starter pretty easily going into 2022. Had him in a few other leagues too, so maybe a guy that I like just a little bit more than the field who actually helped me out quite a bit this season.
When I was unloading in my dynasty league, Scott White Dynasty League, I was basically saying, like, look, I just want to get these salaries off my books. You can have them for anybody. Like really, just make me a deal. Because it's like I've been trying and trying for weeks. And one of the teams, Jonathan Norman and Chris Morales, who they're kind of like in and out of expert leagues. They're good dudes. Sent me a trade, like Luis Garcia for, I think it was like Josh Donaldson, like a $32 Josh Donaldson. I'm like, yeah, man, click, accept. Like, I would have accepted no matter what. And I'm all excited. I'm like, that just seems lopsided, man. Like, Luis Garcia is awesome. And I did it on my phone, you know, so you don't see all the details and everything. And I think you know where this is going. I now have Luis Garcia, the infielder for the Washington Nationals.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, he's not bad.
He's not bad. He made it. You know, he showed up, which actually kind of hurt his eligibility for this league, but whatever. I'm happy. I'm happy with just getting Josh Donaldson's $32. I can spend that money better next year in the draft.
Yeah, it's probably true.
But yeah.
But so anyway, congratulations to you, DVR. You're, as I wrote in the email to the league, you're the best commissioner in baseball, fantasy baseball, that I've ever been around. And
why is that? What's he do so well?
He just takes care of this. It's not an easy league. Like, you have to do a lot of inputting. I'd say Todd Zola is also an excellent SWAT or commissioner. What he does with XFL is really strong, but what DVR does, I don't know. It just feels like a really good league to be a part of, and like, he just takes care of everything. Like, if there's a problem, it gets taken care of, and you don't get the fine, I'll do it. You know, that never happens. He's just you know.
That was almost a Cushing voice there.
Very close.
Was it really? Cushing. Yeah. So it was a really good victory. And disappointing to lose out, but you know, that's fantasy baseball for you.
DVR, when you rule, do you rule like unilateral decision? No one's, you can question it if you want, but this is the decision. Or you're like, hey, you know, do you kind of lean towards, let's put this to a little bit of a vote at least, you know, let's make sure I'm getting everybody's opinion in here.
I think when it's something looking to the future, I'm trying to weigh that against what people want in the league. I'll at least throw that out there. Mm-hmm. If it's something broke, something wasn't clear in the rules, I'll just try and clarify it as quickly as possible myself just to get everyone on the same page, basically, because you can't really have a lot of in-season debates about what has already happened when it comes to running a league. So I think that's sort of the balance I try to find. I was just thinking about this. You know, everybody has their, I think the jersey thing is really cool. Jersey, sherzy, whatever you want to get from someone that helped you this season. Do you have a celebratory go-to end of season beverage when you win a league, or even if you're just celebrating, we're in the postseason now, right? Your team wins a big playoff series or even a wild card game or whatever it is. Do you have something you go to this time of year?
I don't. Do you, Nando?
No, I haven't been winning enough lately to actually consider that, but I drink whatever's handy.
You just celebrate life though.
If I want to celebrate life, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, you just celebrate life all the time.
Rhubarb phrase. I reach for my rhubarb phrase.
Yeah, rhubarb phrase.
When I'm feeling happy.
There's a plug for you. The Brett Sayre, I remember when he won Tout Wars a couple of years ago, did the full Yoo-Hoo shower. I've never done the Yoo-Hoo shower. I just never get the Yoo-Hoo. It's an interesting experience. I had a the most extreme end of season experience in one of my leagues. Now, Devil's Rejects and Mocky, remember I said on the show 2 weeks ago, I said both of those leagues, I'm in position, we could win, and we didn't. And then there was one league, there were two leagues that I said for sure locked up, Labor and DL1. Well, DL1 wasn't so locked up. Let me just, can I tell the story? Do I got time to tell the story?
Yeah, what does DL1 stand for? How about we start there?
I'm sorry, that's Dynasty League One. It's
who named that one?
Well, it used to have a different name, and then the commissioner quit, and so he changed it to Dynasty League, and so that's just kind of what it's been called ever since, Dynasty League. This was many years ago. So we just call it DL1, and in that league, you may remember, Rabbi Ari Sunshine was, we made a bet about 6 weeks ago that Robert Mershak said, yeah, we're taking that bet because we're up by like 9 points and it was all obviously we had it. Well, let me tell you, since our last show, things had changed. We had put down $200 to Ari if he won, and we were going to get 160. That was like a little odds thing because we had a lead, but Ari was like, we could do it. Mershak was like, no, we're going to win. So at the beginning of this past week, the last week of the season, the lead had dropped to 7, right? It had gone back up to like 14. It was like, we got this. Down to 7. As the week went on, Ari was climbing and getting closer. And we were dropping. Everything was going wrong. It was like the wheels were falling off. And we got to the last day. And we were tied. 137 to 137.
Jeez.
Yeah.
What was the catastrophic thing that happened to you? Was there one thing or was it just like... We stopped getting
wins. We had no wins. We just weren't getting wins. So we had been second in wins. And then we dropped down to like 7th in wins. So we dropped 5 points there. Average, we were sort of locked in like 4th, and then we hit like 180 for the week. I'm not kidding. And we had dropped to 6th. So those were the two spots. And Ari had beaten us now in saves, which we had had control of all season. And ERA, he was ahead of us. It was the Gerrit Cole start that kind of tipped us in the wrong direction. So all of a sudden, we're tied at 137. And I call up Robert and I say, hey, you said, like, because I said to him like a couple of weeks ago, you know, there's a chance that Ari can win this. Do you not see this? And he's like, nope, not a chance. There's no way. There's no way he's going to win. We're going to win. So then we're tied 137 to 137. And we are the ones that are in danger. He has chances to overtake us in stolen bases. We could lose points in average. Like, you know, there was one team right ahead of us in average and one team right below us in average. So I call up Rob. I'm like, okay, now will you admit we might lose this? And he said, Ian, you don't understand. We always could lose it. I just believe that words are very powerful. And I don't want to say that because it will contribute to that. And I went, Rob, well, if that's what you meant, you probably should have mentioned that about a month ago because we might have made more trades. He's like, you're a little crazy, Ian.
Wait, he didn't want to speak it into existence, basically?
Exactly. Wow. He did not want to speak it into
all existence. Right.
So the last day.
I can respect that.
Yeah, I kind of can respect it too. I said, I just wish you had told me that. So Cushing says, is Mershak finally admitting that taking the bet was not a no-brainer and that like there was a chance that Ari could win? And I said, well, yeah. And I told him and Alex was like, that sounds like a justification to me. I was like, no, I know it sounds like that, but that's not what it is. So it comes down to the final day and it's all about, we have Chris Sale going, and if Chris Sale gets the win, and that's another one of those dissonance moments where you're like, if Chris Sale wins, then the Red Sox win. I don't want the Red Sox to win, but if he gets the win, we win because we're at 85 wins and there was like 4 teams at 86, and that's all we would need. Well, Chris Sale goes 2 1/3. He's not getting the win. So it's all going to come down to average. It literally came down to the last at-bat of the season. Like literally. Watching at bats. So it's 2nd and 3rd, 1 out. The face of our franchise. So if you ask me who gets what jersey I'm going to buy, the face of the franchise is Aaron Judge. I traded for him in 2016. Right as he came up, I traded. It was just my team at the time. Traded Jose Berrios straight up for Aaron Judge. You know, Berrios was the, you know, future pitcher and Judge was going to be a future hitter. And I believed it was before his rookie of the year campaign. He had hit 150, whatever, but he's the face of the team. 2nd and 3rd, 1 out. We are 6 for 38 on the day. The other team is 7 for 41 and they're done. We're 6 for 38. Aaron Judge comes up 2nd and 3rd, 1 out. Yankees versus the Rays. He hits the line drive, goes off of Kittredge's glove, run scores. I'm jumping up and down with my wife and with my sons. We're super excited. They're in the wild card, so excited. And I literally say to them, I say, that might have just won me a fantasy baseball league. And that is indeed what happened. We won because the official scorer, because it was in New York.
Wait, did they not know that was happening?
I was fully aware that that was happening.
Oh, they were jumping up and down just for an Aaron Judge hit?
They were jumping up and down because the Yankees made it to the wild card. Oh, because, right, like, fair. The game was over. Like, it was a walk-off hit.
And you were like, no, this is all about fantasy?
No, I was 70% excited about the Yankees and 30% saying, you know, I think that's going to be the difference. So then we're up by 0.0001 in average, or 0.003, something like that.
And they call it an error.
Nope. They call it a hit because it's at home. It wouldn't have been an error. It would have been a fielder's choice. And Ari literally was like, it was literally a fielder's choice. It was the second baseman's choice to either throw home to get the out or throw to first. I was like, I get it. Ari handled it absolutely beautifully. But then we had three more hitters. We had Jared Walsh, Juan Soto, and Ty France. And we're up 138 to 137. First up is Jared Walsh, strikes out in the eighth inning. And I'm literally, it's 6 o'clock at night. I'm like watching the at-bats. Like it is the end of, it's like, it's everything. If he gets a hit or a walk, I know we're good. Then it's Juan Soto. I'm like, hey, we got Juan Soto. Come on, Juan Soto. Just get us a hit. Strikeout. It stays 178, 177. Ty France gets up. Fly ball to right field. It was actually a hard hit ball. And I was praying that they would pinch hit for him because we had the lead.
You don't pinch hit for Ty France.
You don't know because the game was over. They had just taken Seager out.
And, yeah, so you get a standing ovation.
Right. He hits a line shot to right field. Right fielder catches it. And I'm watching. And I'm watching. And it goes 175.5. We are tied in average. So we win the league 175.5 to 170. And it was awesome. And I called Ari. And he's just like, I am going to. And he was such a gentleman about it. And we gave him a pass on the bet. It was like, you just lost like the heartbreak of heartbreaks. Like, just forget the bet. The bet is a wash. But it was the most exciting ending of a fantasy baseball season that I've ever had, and was super fun. And sorry, I've been talking for so long, but I wanted to share that story on air.
No, I was kind of totally enthralled by that. You did a great job.
All right. Well, thank you.
Until the end, where you somehow won by 5.5 points.
No, 137.5 to 137.
Okay, that makes
sense. And then they rounded it up, and literally Ari did the, I talked to Ari a bunch that night, and the next day I was like, how you doing? He's like, oh, it hurts so much. And I'd gone through that the year before, if you remember.
He finished second. I mean, what's that, like, I don't know how much your fees are, but.
Nah, not that much. I mean, you know, he makes his money, and taking the bet away helps because it would have taken a hit to his win. But, you know, it happened to me the year before. I was tied with Ariel. I was ahead of Ariel going into the very last day. And then Keegan Aiken needed to give me five innings, and he didn't. He gave me three and gave up six runs. So I ended up losing to Ariel on the last day. And I remembered calling up Glenn Colton that morning. And I said to him a year ago, I said, how do you handle this? And he said, here's how you handle it. You know that these things are going to happen year after year. And sometimes you win. And sometimes you lose. So if you win, enjoy it. But if you lose, know that one year you're going to pull it out. And it was like a weight off my shoulders somehow from last year. The pain of last year had kind of stayed the whole time. And the fact that it was Judge, my favorite player, the heart of the team, it was just awesome. It was one of the happiest moments that I'd had in a while. And I kind of needed that, to be honest.
You destroyed everybody in labor, right? That you ended up holding the line on that one?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yes. Labor
ale ended only. Up
ale only. Yes, it worked out. I mean, it definitely worked out. There was ended the season with 110.5 points out of 120. And yeah, I caught a lot of breaks. I just caught a lot of breaks.
Oh, so humble.
Well, that one, you got to be humble. I mean, come on, man. You got to be humble because I just caught every break. I didn't have bad injuries. You know, Tim Anderson was out for a couple of weeks, you know, but Jose Ramirez stayed healthy all season. Cedric Mullins stayed, you know, did what he did.
How'd you end up with Cedric Mullins? Did you draft him or was he?
I did. I drafted him.
Nice. In the reserves?
I drafted him. And no, I auctioned him for $3. I put him up for $1. Somebody bid two. I bid three.
Man, sucks to be the person who bid two.
The three guys that really were the reason for the success were a $3 Cedric Mullins, a $4 Robbie Ray, a $9 Hunter Renfro, and I think a $12 Frankie Montas. I think that Frankie Montas pick, But a $10 John Means didn't hurt. I got lucky with Jose Ramirez not getting injured, paid 39, paid for him and got him. But also a $9 Jamer Candelario in nail only really, really helped. But it was incredibly fortunate. It was incredibly fortunate. And to play against the best players, I think the best players who play in these kinds of leagues, I'll say that, because Phil Dussault, is that how you say his last name?
Is it Dussault?
Dussault. Yeah. I mean, that guy is just, I mean, you know.
So ran the table.
Oh, my God. So, you know. Absurd season. So, but to play with those guys, the Steve Gardners of the world, the Zolas, the Cockcrofts, you know, the Larry Schechters, Colton the Wolfman. I don't want to leave anybody out. So the Collettes.
Just go ahead. We can name everybody. Go ahead. Name everyone who plays fantasy baseball.
And Clay Lincoln. Anyway, these guys were Dave Adler. They were just great to play with. Sean Childs. I'm sure I'm leaving one person out. And that's and Eno freaking Saris. And Eno, who had a ridiculously good season. He really did. And he just ran into some real injury problems. And that's the difference, because I didn't have the debilitating injuries in that league like I did in some others, like Tout Wars, where you know, had to fight to just make it to the top half of the league.
Our draft and hold finished with a tie. Alan Harrison and Matt Williams finished with 107.
Did they not have a tiebreaker?
I don't know. No, I didn't get an email, so I have no idea. I just saw the standings were tied. And I didn't see any of those congratulations. Oh, you know what? Because it's linked to my Yahoo. I don't check my Yahoo. Maybe they did. I'll check that in a minute. I just wanted to, before, I don't want to brush over this Phil Dussault thing. Philippe Dussault, I pulled up the email that I had from NFBC. Philippe Dussault won the main event, which is the big one where 645 teams go against each other. And then, you know, you're separate leagues. And if you have the most points overall, you win the overall prize. You won $150,000. He had two other teams in the top 21 overall, finishing third and 21st overall. All three of those won titles as well. He's won 6 main event league titles over the last 2 seasons and 7 main event league titles over the last 3 years. And then he won the 2021 auction championship overall and finished second in the online in the RotoWire online championship.
Jeez.
Yeah, he won the auction championship by winning the New York $2,500 auction league, even though he needed a proxy at the table because Canadians were not allowed to. This is a really good story. It was so much to write a story. DVR, write a story about this for The Athletic.
Travis Sochik already wrote the story for The Score, and I felt like an idiot because I felt like we should have written the story before Travis did, but Travis is a good writer, so it was a good job by him to get there.
Well, Score's Canadian, I guess he had.
Yeah, that's true.
He won the main event with a record 145 points and the overall with 6,211.5 points, 96.3% of the possible points. That is Eric Wong-style domination.
Yeah,
good for him.
Great.
Congratulations, man. That's great.
I mean, that is a lifetime's worth of success in fantasy baseball in one season for Phil.
Who's all right, Ian, rank Phil, Adam Ronis, you, and Lindy Hinkleman.
No.
Go.
No.
And Cushing.
No, I'm
go.
No, definitely not. I will not do that. But I will say this. Steve Cozzolino won GDD again.
Well, you know, when people win the leagues, they invent some raises a little.
Well, no, we're going to go back. Hey, Nando, you can come back next year because it's now being transferred back to a weekly, which I think is good.
Is it really? Why? What happened?
Yeah. I don't know. He just said we're going to go to weekly next year. So that's pretty positive. Also, TGFBI, who ended up winning TGFBI, Derek? Do you know?
Diver.
But overall?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know in my league, I believe it was Corbin Young. Let me see. I better get that right. We came, myself and Robert
Murshack.
You
don't want to say the wrong fantasy player name.
We came in fourth place in the league and I think 66th overall, 67th overall, sorry. And Ariel Cohen beat us by 3 points. So he had 109 and we had 106. So I'm going to hear about that as I do the Beat the Shift podcast this week. He's going to talk about that. I know.
Who's the host of that?
The host is somebody who actually I will be sending there. There will be one last, because this is our last show of the season. There is the end of this season. It's the end of the season show. And we will, as long as Derek doesn't cancel it, there'll be a nice little 3 minute at the end. Ariel Cohen and George Washington. So Washington is going to sort of point out to Ariel that he did not win either Tout Wars or Labor this year, and wondering whether he had any thoughts about that. And Ariel has a very strong response. Let's put it that way. So I'll play it for the guys after the show. If it's not there, it means that DVR said not good enough.
You can just email Ian personally and ask him for it.
Yes. Well, I've been calling friends and playing it for them. Derek Carty and I were on the phone yesterday for about actually almost an hour talking about, because he won NL Labor, and it's his fourth NL Labor in 11 years. That's crazy.
He's got a fantastic gambling model that is on The Athletic as well.
Yeah, Derek Carty has got to be in the conversation at this point as one of the best players, period. Because
Ian, rank these Derek's. Derek Carty, Derek Van Riper. I don't know any more Derek's. Do I?
I'm going to go Derek Van Riper one, always.
Sure, sorry.
How about man. That?
Come no, on, no, now.
Hey. Yeah, but Derek Van Riper is my partner. Derek Carty is my friend, but Derek Van Riper, you know, like there's, you know. Don't ask me to rank you guys. How about that? So it was what a season. I'm kind of glad it's over in a way. Are you guys glad that the season's over?
Oh, the fantasy over baseball for me, season. Over a month, yeah. 100%. All right.
Derek, are you happy that the season is over?
I needed it just from the big life change and just need to kind of hit reset and get ready for a new season and get used to life as it is right now because – basically, I was in the car every day that I took off to get out to California. So it was a bit of a grind getting through the last 7 weeks of the season. So yeah, I'm happy the playoffs are here. Already feeling good about 2022. Already hard at work on rankings and everything else we need to do for next season. But good to have the change and the break.
Yeah, I'm actually super excited to have an off season, partially because I was like holding on all season for wanting labor to end the way that I wanted it to end. And now that it's over, it's just like, cool. All right. Now there's so much fun in the off season to really like dig into the players and dig into who we are higher on than other people. And figuring all that out and then getting ready. Fred Zinke said on the phone once, when I spoke to him earlier in the season, it was a tweet that he put out where someone asked what his favorite part of fantasy baseball was. And his number one thing was the draft. And his number two thing was preparation for the draft. And then number three was trading, which is what he's known for. But I'm kind of coming around to that. Like the most fun you can have in fantasy baseball is the auction or the draft and the prep for it. So I'm super excited to do it and to dig into a couple of the dynasty teams that I have that I want to make some moves in and really like go through all the other teams and figure out what they need so we can find what we need. Like Brett Sarah and I had a big conversation today about a league that we do and what, you know, how we're going to move forward. So it's really fun. Super fun.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
My earphones are acting up again.
Is that all about?
Oh, okay, you guys. Sorry, I thought they were acting up for real again. You guys didn't say anything. We're back.
We weren't gone.
If I move it slightly, you know, I lose it because they're kind of old and it's got, you know, that they're kind of cheap. I'll admit it. So I'll just get I'll bring the good ones out. Anyway.
Nando, I know what I'm getting you for Christmas.
What's that?
One more thing. Devil's Rejects was in the league.
CD of you and Ariel talking to each other?
No, but if it was, it would be something that you'd have to appreciate because Ariel Cohen is a star.
He wrote a very graceful note about Frank Stample winning his league.
Hey, I spoke to Frank Stample too because I wanted to call and congratulate him. And Frankie is how awesome.
How'd you even get his number?
From when we used to do the show at the place on 42nd Street.
So you just saved it. You're like, hey, I got Frank Stample's number. I'm going to call him.
Frank's my friend. What are you talking about?
I don't doubt it. It's just kind of funny. Like, did he look at the number? And he's like, he picked it up immediately.
I mean, Yeah, Frank's a buddy of mine. I mean, one of the things in the course of the, one of the other good things about the offseason is I can spend a lot more time on the phone with really smart fantasy baseball people. Because during the season, like, there's always so much to take care of. The offseason is all theory. And that's, I don't know, for me, kind of the fun of the game. DBR, do you feel the same way that the offseason, like, you can really figure stuff out about how the game works?
Yeah, I think it's a lot easier to make those bigger adjustments outside the season. It's kind of like, I don't know, maybe learning a new pitch. Easier to do that in the offseason than to just add it on the fly in season.
Oh, DVR, yeah.
What he did, right? See what he did there? That's pretty freaking good. Pretty freaking good. Look at you. Yeah. Yeah, that's how I feel. And it's the theory part of the game that's the most fun. And things that you would change and things that you would learn. Like, you know, I'm interested in really digging into the two aces technique. The dual, what do they call it? Pocket aces. The pocket aces technique for NFBC, like, and for other leagues, whether that really works. And I saw, maybe it was Eno who posted that only nine of the, or was it UDVR? That only nine of the top 25 pitchers brought value this season. Did you guys see that one?
That would have been Eno if it was one of us, because I didn't tweet that.
Yeah, DVR stopped writing about 2 months ago.
Yep. Once I started packing boxes, I stopped writing.
No, it was a...
Once he became a Californian, once he started identifying as a Californian.
Hey, man, he's chilling.
I know.
California is the place to be.
He used to be so high strung.
Yeah, I think I definitely noticed a difference. He's definitely more chill. Not that he was high strung. I don't think he was high strung.
Not being serious.
No, but California does do that to you. You know why? Because it's sunny and it's warm and you can go outside all the time. And you can like take a walk. Whereas in Wisconsin, like you can do that for like 6 months out of the year. In California, you can do it 12 months out of the year. Do you feel the difference there, DVR?
Oh, yeah. There's no inherent pressure to, I don't know, like be outside right now because you know it'll probably be nice outside later.
Nando, you've never lived in California?
No. Let's go to Tim's question.
All right, go ahead. Go to Tim's question.
Or do you want to talk about Tout? I think we already did, really, in a way.
Well, you know, Tout Wars.
How many Tout tables did you guys do?
Four or five.
Yeah, probably five. Yeah, about four or five. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like that. All right. Yeah. How many Tout tables did you do, Nando?
I think I did like 10.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Good on you.
I like Zola, and I feel like I'm doing him a favor more so than, like, you know, letting my expert opinion be known to all the players out there.
I like Zola too, man. Zola's a good guy. He's a really good guy.
I guess not enough to do more than five, but yeah.
I guess not, but I don't think of it as Zola. I think of it as like doing the duty that you got to do if you're going to be a Tout person. But then sometimes, like, the problem was I'd see the email and I'd immediately click on it and then I'd be the first one. And that always felt like awkward. I didn't like being first.
The first person
at the top of the list.
I wanted to go in once and write a fake DVR response and see if they'd figure it out. But then I said, no, if they don't, then that'll ruin our friendship.
So yeah, you know what? It's probably for the best. You probably don't want to do that. But Tout Wars. This year in Tout Wars, it was a tough season. I mean, as I've talked about it before, a lot of injuries, but ended up in seventh place, which was my goal. Like, there was no way I was going to climb above seventh. And I was happy that it ended there. Jeff Zimmerman had a dominant performance, 136 points, really great. And really kind of won the league. I mean, it was pretty clear. How about you, DVR?
It was bad. I made a lot of mistakes on auction day. I'm just thinking back to all of them. And I'm too aggressive, like I've said before. That's the thing that needs to change. Like, I look at the way Jeff plays Tout Wars versus the way I play Tout Wars. There's a reason why Jeff wins more than I do. And it's discipline. It's things we've talked about in this show a lot, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I Clay Link had Ariel Cohen on his MLB show. And
wonder what that show sounded like.
It sounded like that. And I listened to it just for research to continue working on the impression. And Clay made a similar statement about how he's sort of leaning more towards Ariel's side of things and a little less Stars and Scrubs, which seems to be maybe the way people are going, which I'm a fan of. I'm not a Stars and Scrubs fan. I think it locks you in too much and you're counting on four or five guys to do so much. I'd rather see a little bit more of a spread.
Tell you what, man, I'm coming off a fantasy football draft season, and it's we're entering week five in fantasy football, for those of you who don't know. And like I have such fatigue on naming strategies. Like I can't, like the next person who says like they went hero RB this year, or you know, like they went bell cow RB, like I just want to like shut down the conversation right there.
Well, how are your fantasy football teams doing so far?
Fantastic. 3-1. Good. 3-1s all over the place.
Look at you. DVR, how about you?
Except for the GGD where I'm 0-4.
Ooh.
Yeah. That one's rough.
That's not good.
Lost a lot of running backs.
Doing well in flex, not well in my home league, and Fishbowl, I lost J.K. Dobbins early.
God, I couldn't even tell you what a J.K. Dobbins is.
I don't even know what my record is in Fishbowl.
That doesn't matter that much. It's just total points, really, to get you into guys, the
see,
final
I'm,
part.
I was on the verge. Fantasy football, I hated it so much because it felt so much like just Russian roulette. Like, just you're, as soon as that knee goes out on whatever player it is, your season's over, right? But I kind of, there's a little bit of me that, like, this morning, I watched the highlights of the Giants game, and that looked really exciting. And the highlights of the Jets game. I watch highlights of both those games. I didn't recognize anybody, but I was like, oh yeah, I kind of liked football back in the day. Like I kind of loved football. I loved watching football, but then I got kind of turned off from it. But I don't know. Is it fun? Do you guys like fantasy football more than fantasy baseball?
No.
Good.
It's fun, but I like fantasy baseball a lot more.
I think I just like winter and fall. And that's what it is. Like I just like when it's cold and I don't have to check lineups every single day, but I don't know what I like anymore. You know, ask me in like January.
Okay, I'll ask you in January.
But
I will say this, having played daily league this year in GDD, I'm not for it.
Oh.
I think it's too much. But you know, I had the experience of a full season. I think last year with 60 games daily made sense, but it adds a level of anxiety to your day every day. It was like, I got to check.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not a fan of it. I think it's too long of a season to pull that off.
Everyone mocked me for it.
No, I think I'm on board with you now. DVR, where are you with the daily versus weekly? I've changed. I've grown. DVR, what do you think?
I don't want to play daily leagues.
Yeah.
No,
it's my first reason to reject a league. Going forward, I'm glad we did it for the reasons we did it, not knowing how COVID was going to work with IL stuff and all that. That was a big part of it. But twice a week is the maximum number of lineup changes we need. And if we have better tech on more sites, midweek injury replacements would be
awesome.
A much improved way to play fantasy baseball that doesn't push you into the daily routine, but gives you outs when guys get hurt on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I think that's a happy medium.
I think that's a happy medium. But, you know, if we look at Khaki, I mean Maki, we did, in that league, we did the full, like, you can trade out pitchers and hitters on Mondays, on Sunday, you know, Mondays and Fridays. I rather like that. I don't mind that as an alternative. How about you, DVR? Are we going to keep that or are you going to change that?
I think we're going to keep it. It was one of those things that was our adjustment for pandemic baseball. And I think most people just like being able to, you know, if you're chasing pitching, for example, you can be a little more pitcher heavy and change your roster that way. If you want to mix and match with a couple platoon guys, you can actually do that a little more effectively. I don't know. I think it gives you a few more strategies, and anything that gives you a little flexibility on that front is worth considering.
That league, I'm telling you, that league, Maki, I like that setup a lot. I don't know. Did you just copy that from the RotoWire staff, or have you like tinkered with it through the years? Because I love the idea that whoever you pick up in a keeper league at that price is the price that you get to keep them. Like that aspect of it, I love. Just everything about it. I just think it's a really smart league. And What do you think the distinction is there? Because maybe people can learn from it. Because I think it's the best.
Yeah, I play. So I have two keeper leagues I'm in right now. Maki, the one we talk about on this show a lot, and I'm in this one called Grassball, which I don't think anyone's ever talked a lot about on a podcast other than the old Short Hops podcast they used to do with Bernie Pleskov. It's a league
with
Bernie and a bunch of other people. Yeah, so now grass ball is part of our world of leagues that we talk about. But it's an AL-only keeper league, 12 teams, it's an auction. It's got bad inflation. Grass ball does not allow you to keep a player picked up off the waiver wire unless they were purchased by somebody else in the auction. So anybody who was not drafted as part of the auction or the reserve rounds has an X contract designation, and if they have an X, you can't hold them, which is awful.
I don't like that. I don't like that.
I think it's awful. We've used Fab for a while now. That was something I suggested after joining the league. I said, hey, this would be more fun to do it this way. It's more equitable, especially in a league this deep, to make people bid on free agents. We got that change in. But I think in a keeper league, it's really important to allow people to find value in season. We talk all the time about keep people engaged at the end of the season. If you have a path to hold on to guys like Abraham Toro after that trade, for example, that's a good thing. Like that's a very way to make your team a lot better. And if you're in seventh place and you're not going to win this year, if you picked up Abraham Toro and you could hold him for $3 next year in a deep mix league or an AL-only league, that gives you a better chance to win next year. That makes fantasy baseball more fun for more people in the league. So I just think having logical rules to hold in-season players. Sometimes I've seen leagues that have rules. Oh, you picked up Toro? Great. He's a $20 player next year. Or he's a fifth-round keeper. Well,
we struggle with that in XFL. I mean, we've talked about that rule in XFL, that when you pick somebody up, they're automatically a $10 player next year.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like that.
No, I'm not a huge fan of that. But the fun of Friday morning waking up and seeing the Fab bids and realizing, hey, I just got Carlos Hernandez for the next 3 years because I got him at a good price. And actually, I don't even know if I'm going to keep Carlos Hernandez. Tom and I are going to keep Carlos Hernandez for $7. In fact, I probably don't think we will. But it adds so much to it. And then the last week, what our partner Nando did was so naughty, and I'm wondering if this is why he kept his money. Shane Bieber comes off the IL, and DVR had $22 left, and I bid $10 because that's our $12 because that's all we had left, and DVR got Shane Bieber going into next year for $22. Is that why you saved your money for that?
Is this naughty? I thought you said I did something naughty. The way you phrased that.
No. What DVR did something brilliant naughty.
Well, yeah, so that league allows us to trade for Fabs. You can give up prospects or cheap keepers you can't hold on to. Whatever you want to give up, you can trade for more Fab.
Which I also love.
Yeah, I mean, again, have more ways for everyone to make their team better. I think it might have been either the second or third week of September, like kind of middle of the month, seeing that Bieber had a chance to come back, knowing that there's always some players that either because of just rehab and teams wanting to see them before the end of the season, or maybe they're contending teams. Eloy came back earlier than expected, but there was a point earlier this year where we thought Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert might come back in September. When players like that are unavailable because they're hurt, they get previously dropped, they pop back up at the end of the year, there's redraft value and there's keeper league value for those types of players. So if you have that extra little bit of Fab left, that gives you a pretty nice path to get those late season upgrades, and it's really important, sure, of course, in a keeper league. That's how I got Ohtani in this league. Ohtani was available at the end of last season. Picked him up off the wire. So hard to believe, right?
And you won the league because of it.
Yeah, I guess an Ohtani jersey could also
work. I would think an Ohtani jersey is the way to go. I mean, it's the only, I traded for him in the two other dynasty leagues, was getting Ohtani before the season. It was a good time to buy. Now is not a good time to buy. Don't try to buy Ohtani now. Unless it's in a daily league, then you can do it.
I think we talked about this back in the winter, but I picked up two Ohtani rookie cards on eBay for like $3.
No.
DVR brought up cards, not me.
Yeah, well, you did the read, but yeah, you had to. So it was silly. It definitely counts. But it's funny because it's just like, our perceptions of players change so much over even part of one season, but just look back at the results from the drafts, the auctions you were in, look back at the rankings. If you make your own projections, look back at those things and see how wildly different the actual outcomes were versus what we expected to happen. I'm doing that draft that I do with Todd right now. We're only in the, I want to say, ninth round right now. 15-teamer, we always start up kind of at the end of the current season. So we started this last week, Friday. We started before the season was over. Yeah, we're in the ninth round right now. And seeing the names that are going in the first 150 picks, a lot of these players were undrafted or they were at least late round guys going into the 2021 season. So yeah, there's some recency bias cooked in there, but some of it's just, this is how much the game changes and how quickly you have to react.
I'm going to say it real quick. And then you made me think of the side bets that we made. And I know we made some before the season, and it turns out we did back in December 2020. There were three of them. So after Ian makes his point, I'll bring him up.
Oh my God, I'm nervous. Okay. Well, here's my point. Once you play a full season, what you realize is how important that draft is. It's everything, man. Like, there's some leagues that you can, you know, cut and paste, but all great successes largely happen from that draft. Not completely. I mean, as I was talking to Ariel Cohen about Adam Ronis, we were talking about Ronis, and Ronis is one of the best at fixing problems on his team through Fab. But it's really all about that draft. It's the work that happens between today and March that sets you up for that you know, big event of the draft. So definitely, like, work at it. If you care and you want to win, work at it, because that's what makes the difference. The success of labor for me personally was really working with Ariel on understanding values, but then, like, really being at the top of my game for every one of those players and really knowing what those values were. So I wasn't looking at sheets. I knew that Frankie Montas, I had him valued at $17. I didn't have to look. So when he was there at 12, I was bidding. And that surety in that time, like the work that I do now in working with leaders on their communication skills, so much of about it is about the preparation, preparing, and getting prepared so that when the moment happens, you're ready. That's what I would say. It's like, get yourself ready. All right, here it comes. And special thanks to Chris from Baseball Pods, who listens and retweets us all the time, which we're grateful for, and was a very good player in Maki. I thought he was a great addition to the Maki League. What are our three bets?
So DVR actually didn't pick one of them for some reason. One was, will Wander Franco be a top 70 player in 2021? I don't know. I don't think he was. I don't think he landed there.
I'm going to find out right now.
I don't know if he made it based on overall value for the season, because he came up probably later than he should have based on
But that was the question.
That was part of it, right?
Yeah, for sure.
There's a couple ways to grade it. You could say overall, which I think was factored in. So I think I lose. I was yes. You guys were both no. I think he fell a little short of that. But it's interesting, in the aforementioned draft happening right now, Wander Franco literally went at pick 70. He went in the fifth round, one pick before Zola and I would have taken him at 71.
That's good.
It's an amazing coincidence that he landed exactly right there. And Zola and I were back and forth in G chat. We're like, I think it's Wander time here in the fifth round if he's still there.
Absolutely.
When it comes back to us.
So. 100%. Yeah. Is it? Well, it's average, not OBP.
Yeah, it's average. Just a 5x5, you know, traditional league.
Tyler O'Neill, brothers. Tyler O'Neill. My goodness. Okay. All right. So I think I said no on that. I would have said no on that.
Yeah, you were both no's. So Chibata takes an L on this one.
Yeah.
But it's a lowercase L instead of the all caps L.
Look at that.
You know,
yeah, no, Wander Franco, he finished the season 298.
This is kind of in the conversation. But like, because I know, because I was reading the comments for Michael Waterloo did the first six rounds of 2020 draft. And he didn't have Tyler O'Neill in there, and the commenters were going a little nuts about it.
2020 or 2022?
I'm sorry, 2022.
Okay.
He's playing back to the 2020.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Yeah, I was like, he's doing the pandemic year.
I said 2022, you bastards.
Tyler O'Neill went in the third round of the same team that took Wander in the
I cannot. Yeah, we cannot go third round. That's not. Maybe next episode, let's take your draft and like pick it apart a little bit. Not your and Todd's, but the whole draft. Like, let's just go over everything and be like, whoa, that's too high.
That's interesting.
That's too low. That'll be fun. Let's do that next episode.
All right. Ian can write that rundown too.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to do it.
Next one is Pete Alonso, over under 255 batting average.
Oh, you know who took the L on that one?
Everyone but me.
Everyone but Nando. And you know how Nando was right about this? How about Pete Alonso only striking out 19.9% of the time this year? I did not see that coming at all.
Good season. All right, Nando, you're 2-0. I'm 1-1. DVR is 0-2.
We didn't do a tiebreaker, so we're screwed on this one.
Well, what's the third one?
Justin Upton versus Shogo Akiyama, player value.
That might be a push.
No, Upton gets it. Upton gets it. There's no way that Akiyama
was hurt.
Value.
I'm with DVR. Akiyama was hurt. There's no way.
It's not a push, baby.
Yeah, Upton got hurt too.
No. Upton got hurt too, and Upton actually provided value. It's for like there was like 4 weeks. Like every year, I say about Justin Upton, he's going to give you like 3-4 weeks where he looks like Justin Upton again, and he gave you that. And Akiyama didn't give you nothing. And DVR did not vote on that.
I didn't. I think I would have been on the Upton side if I had picked a side on it.
It's very easy to say now, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to give him that, though.
I didn't think Akiyama was going to play that much.
Yeah, no.
That's what happened. I just thought it was kind of an empty bat with a little bit of speed. And yeah, that's...
Sorry.
I don't know.
Sorry, Big Daddy. Sorry, Big Daddy.
Oh, you know, it's...
2-1, hey, we did okay. I feel like there's more. I know that Ariel Cohen is going to call me out on our Alberto Mondesi versus J.D. Martinez bet that we made. And he will be right because I took Mondesi and he took J.D. Martinez, and that wasn't really close. So that's why I owe him $2, as he put in his tweet, which made me go, well, screw you. I'm not doing your show now. What do you think of that, pal? No, I'm kidding. I'll still do the show.
You know, the tree that I thought this was 2020, but I guess it was 2021 when the tree fell on Shogo Akiyama's wife.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
What? Oh, I do remember. Yeah, I saw there was a story about her being injured, so yeah, a tree fell on her. I don't remember that part of the story.
Yeah, they were out, like, I guess, hiking on a trail somewhere, and it was like a tree fell on her.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hey, I'm looking at first base because I was looking at Pete Alonso, right? You know what I find interesting in first base? And he's not primarily a first baseman. Chris Bryant. Huh. This is a good year. He had a good season.
He did all right. Good baseball player.
Yeah, he's a good baseball player. And you would think that when he went to San Francisco that he was going to lose a little bit, but he I guess he didn't. I mean, nice balanced profile. 25 home runs, 10 stolen bases, 73 RBI, 77 runs, and 86 runs. I'm sorry. It's even better. 265 average, 353 OBP, very good. 481 slugging. Yeah, it's a nice season from him. And the other guy who, I don't know if you guys are surprised by this, but I am a little bit, is, and I have him in a number of places, is Ryan Mountcastle.
Yeah.
That's a good season, man.
Oh, yeah. Like, I was wrong about him, too. I thought he was brutal in the first month, first 6 weeks. I thought he was going to lose playing time, and they stuck with him, and they were rewarded.
Yeah. Him and that first base is interesting going into next year. I mean, looking at it now, you've got one or two, like, just dominant guys. And Vlad ended up the number one player. Wow, look at that. The number one player on the CBS list. And then Paul Goldschmidt with a bounce back season. Wow, I didn't own Goldschmidt anywhere. Do you guys know what he did? Look at this.
He was also on my khaki team.
Was he? That'll do it. 102 runs, 31 home runs, 99 RBIs. and 12 stolen bases with not being caught once with a 293 average. Nice. That's a really good season. And then Freddie Freeman did his Freddie Freeman thing. Matt Olson, Austin Riley. I still don't know what to do about that. And Jose Abreu. I mean, there's first base has tremendous depth going into next season.
Yeah, CJ Cron is staying in Colorado too.
Yeah, that just got announced.
So that's pretty nice.
Antonio Senzatella, I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. 5 years, $50 million.
Good for him.
Yeah. Huh?
Senzatella, yeah.
Senzatella. I will say this. Listen for a post-credit show. If it's not there, it's because DVR has said that. What is that? What is that phrase? Like, is the discretion is the better than whatever. So if it doesn't show up there, it'll show up on the Beat the Shift podcast. I will also be doing the RotoWire Prospect podcast this week with James Anderson. Ding. And as the season ends, as we go into the offseason, I want to thank you guys. Because not only are you my friends, but it's just always so much fun to be able to do the show with you. And thank you to everybody who listens, including Tim. Thank you, everybody, for enjoying the game with us and giving us a reason to get together and talk about it the way that we do. So thanks to everybody, really.
I can't top that with a goofy ending now. That was too sincere.
Yeah, you have to. Come on. No, you don't
gotta,
end the season.
Let's go. Thanks, everyone. It's a good time.
Bye.
No. Do your bit.
For the man who's never taken a Yoo-Hoo shower, but has taken plenty of YouTube baths, Ian Khan.
Yes, that's true.
For the man who makes the people at Starbucks write Hollywood Van Riper on his cup now.
I did change my name at Panera to David Putty, so you have to call out David Putty anytime I get a breakfast sandwich or a coffee there, which I feel bad. I like how it says that on the screen better. Like that to me is funny. When a person working has to say it, I feel kind of bad.
We got to go. Thank you all for joining us. Hope this is helpful. Shout out, Tim. We like you. We do, man. We were just messing with you. All right. Bye, everybody.
Good talk. Bye. Hello, Ariel, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you is completely unnecessary. General Washington, I mean, your phone calls are some of the most fun times that I can have because, you know, it's great to talk to someone like you, General Washington. You see what I did there? I called you General right from the top. I want you to be very comfortable on this call. I don't want to make anything that makes you feel bad about yourself.
Thank you, Ariel. I was calling you because I was wondering if you have learned anything over the course of these last many months.
Oh, yeah, I have. I've learned a lot, General Washington, first, how to pronounce your name. But secondly, what I've learned is that I'm really good at fantasy baseball.
Ariel, the reason I was checking is it seems as if your record at the end of the season was not exactly what you were anticipating.
Oh, no, you're right. No, definitely right. I mean, you know, on August 9th, I did tweet out that I was in first place in both Tout Wars and Labor, hashtag Labor, like, you know, tic-tac-toe board. And that's what I posted. But I also said that there were really good players coming up behind.
Well, yes, Ariel, I'm afraid you came in second in Tout Wars.
Yeah, second in Tout Wars. That's right. Frankie Stanfill won. Very happy for him. He's a great guy. Not great at tennis, but great guy.
And third in Labor.
Yeah, but I mean, look who I lost to. I mean, I lost to a living legend in Ron Chandler. I mean, that's Ron Chandler. So there's no embarrassment about that. And really, when you think about it, General Washington...
Yes, Ariel.
When you think about it, I mean, second place is really not that bad because winning and losing in these leagues are as tight as a drum.
Tight as a drum.
Yeah, tight as a drum. Weren't they saying that back in your day? Anyway, really, you know, I appreciate your call of condolences.
Well, yes, Ariel, that was why I was reaching.
It's really not necessary. I mean, I feel really good about it. I mean, second or third. I mean, I've played in expert leagues for the last 3 years. I'm either coming first, second, or third. I mean, that's really not bad, General Washington. I mean, it's a lot better than what happened with you in the French and Indian War.
I'm sorry.
Well, you know, in the French and Indian War, where you started the war. Like, pretty much it was because of you that there was a war between England and France and, like, you know, thousands of people died, right? That was because of you?
Ariel, that is a question of somewhat...
I'm just saying, I mean, if you think about it, second place isn't so bad because, I mean, starting a world war, geez, that's got to be 15th place. Lose a little bit of fab.
understand your point.
I mean, it's not that you didn't do great things after. I mean, you were fabulous. I mean, you ended up winning the league. I mean, you were the main man. You were the Hall of Famer, so to speak.
Thank you, Oreo.
But you know, just you gotta remember your place too, Washington. I didn't really mean to do that. Every once in a while, it slips out. I call you Washington. It's because I feel like we're friends now. It's like we're friends.
Oriel, thank you so much again for taking my call.
The pleasure really was really mine. I mean, you want to speak to me, little Oriel Cohen. And that's something, look out in 2022.